Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 8, Texts 3 and 4. Translation and commentary by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Founder Acharya of ISKCON. Translation of verses 3 and 4 together. When Hiranyakashipu understood the entire situation, he was extremely angry, so much so that his body trembled. Thus he finally decided to kill his son, Prahlad. Hiranyakashipu was by nature very cruel, and feeling insulted, he began hissing like a snake trampled upon by someone's foot. His son, Prahlad, was peaceful, mild, and gentle. His senses were under control, and he stood before Hiranyakashipu with folded hands. According to Prahlad's age and behavior, he was not to be chastised. Yet, with staring, crooked eyes, Hiranyakashipu rebuked him with the following harsh words. Purport. When one is impudent toward a highly authorized devotee, one is punished by the laws of nature. The duration of his life is diminished, and he loses the blessings of superior persons and the results of pious activities. Hiranyakashipu, for example, had achieved such great power in the material world that he could subdue practically all the planetary systems in the universe, including the heavenly planets, Swargaloka. Yet now, because of his mistreatment of such a Vaishnava as Prahlad Maharaj, all the results of his tapasya diminished. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 10.4.46, Hayu Shriyam Yasho Dharmam Lokan Ashisha Evacha Hanti Shayam Si Saravani Pungso Mahad Atikramaha. When man mistreats great souls, his lifespan, opulence, reputation, religion, possessions, and good fortune are all destroyed. Kopavesha Chalagatra Putram Hantam Manodate Kshitva Parushaya Bacha Praharadam Atadarhanam Ahikshamana Papena Tiras Chinena Chakshusha Prashrayavanatam Dantam Badhanjalim Avastitam Sarpa Padahata Iva Svasan Prakriti Daruna. When Hiranyakashipu understood the entire situation, he was extremely angry, so much so that his body trembled. Thus he finally decided to kill his son Prahlad. Hiranyakashipu was by nature very cruel, and feeling insulted, he began hissing like a snake trampled upon by someone's foot. His son, Prahlad, was peaceful, mild, and gentle. His senses were under control, and he stood before Hiranyakashipu with folded hands. According to Prahlad's age and behavior, he was not to be chastised, yet with staring, crooked eyes, Hiranyakashipu rebuked him with the following harsh words. It's quite extraordinary that Hiranyakashipu wanted to kill his son. It's, of course, nowadays we hear so many cases of parents abusing their children, but generally, parents are kind towards their children, even among the demons, even among the lions and the tigers. They may be very cruel and vicious, but they're kind towards their children. And we see here that Hiranyakashipu, even though he was a great demon, he had a sentiment to be kind towards his son. But then when he found out his son was a devotee of Vishnu, he wanted to kill him. So this shows the nature of a demon. There was no need for Hiranyakashipu to be so angry. If the son does something wrong, or even if he doesn't agree with the father, of course in Vedic culture, the son, there's no question of him not agreeing with the father. They just follow. In traditional Indian culture, you follow. And the father, he also has to follow the guru, and the guru has to follow his guru, sadhu and shastra. And in this way, by parampara system, both parampara means both by the Shokra Parampara and Shrota Parampara, one by seminal descent and one by hearing. But even the seminal descent, That's not necessarily bad if the hearing is also there. But if there's no hearing there, then it all becomes spoiled, corrupted, and useless. Anyway, the basic point is that generally the child should follow the father, but even if he doesn't, then the father may punish him, but kill him. Why should he kill him? Seems to be an overreaction, and it certainly is. But why has he become so much angry? Because he is a demon, and demons, they cannot tolerate worship of Lord Vishnu. They don't like it. I was sometime preaching in Thailand, which is a Buddhist country, and we find there that the Thais, they're famous for being tolerant. Everything's okay, everything's nice, everything's smiling Thais, they're calling it. Everything, whatever you want to do, it's all right. But the only thing you can guarantee to get a Thai person upset is if you tell that there's God, and they don't like that, they become upset. That there's a personal God, they become upset. Because apparently from the outside they're very nice, but inwardly they're envious of Krishna, their whole so-called culture, which is based upon smiling at each other, and I'm okay, you're okay, everything's okay, whatever you want to do, it's okay. But inwardly it's all based on sense gratification. Everyone simply enjoys sense gratification, and they're envious of Krishna. So this apparent niceness of people who are envious of Krishna, we shouldn't be misled by that. Sometimes we think that in our society there are not very good dealings, so we should go to some kami psychologist who doesn't believe in Krishna. He thinks that life comes from monkeys and we descended from monkeys, and because they make some analysis based on atheistic philosophy, and then we try to apply that to our devotees, which of course will cause chaos. If we apply some kind of philosophy which root is atheism, then ultimately we're going to be killing our Krishna consciousness. Therefore we have to hear from the Acharya. Here we see that Hiranyakashipu was envious of Prahlad. So just as the demons, they're envious of Krishna, they're also envious of the devotees. We see there are many people, actually when Prabhupada was first preaching, he brought his Western disciples to India. Most of the people in Vrindavan, almost all of his god brothers, they were criticizing. How can you make these mlechas devotees? They criticized. They couldn't see, even though they're supposed to be followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they couldn't see that Prabhupada has fulfilled the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And instead they're talking something which is completely against the philosophy and teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that mlechas cannot become Vaishnavas. Even now they call this temple Engreji Mandir. What is the meaning? English temple, British, Western. They don't see Vaishnav temple. That here are people who have come to worship Krishna. So why is that? Why, if someone is a devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then surely they would recognize Srila Prabhupada. Why not, if someone doesn't recognize, just like Hiranyakashipu we see here in this story, very interesting. He was defeated by Prahlad. Prahlad defeated him because without even trying to oppose him, simply by his own purity, he defeated Hiranyakashipu by neglect. Hiranyakashipu conquered everybody by the strength of his arms. And Indra, Chandra, all the demigods, they were afraid of him. But Prahlad, he wasn't afraid of him. He was simply ignoring him. He told him, don't chant Hare Krishna. And he went on chanting Hare Krishna. So Hiranyakashipu was most upset that I've conquered over all the demigods by the power of my tapasya. And here's this little boy, he never did any tapasya. He never had any time to do any tapasya. And practically he's defeated me because he doesn't care for anything I say. I can't control him. I can control all the big demigods, but I can't control this little boy. I want to hurt him and I can't hurt him. So he asked. By asking this question, he admitted his defeat. He said, what is the source of your power? He asked him. That means he's admitting that his power, Prahlad's power, is more than that of Hiranyakashipu. So Prahlad answered that the source of my power and the source of yours is the same. Only I recognize it, but you don't recognize it. So actually Hiranyakashipu knew, he knew superficially that Vishnu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But he didn't dedicate himself to that principle. He didn't recognize it in his personal life. He knew that. We find elsewhere in this narration of the pastimes of Prahlad Maharaj, in the narration of Hiranyakashipu, how Hiranyakashipu is recognizing that Lord Vishnu is supreme. So he recognized that, but due to insanity caused by envy, he thought that Vishnu is supreme, but now I will kill him and I will become supreme. This is madness. There are six basic enemies of the conditioned soul, and Hiranyakashipu, although thinking himself very great, was fully under the control of these enemies. He conquered his enemies, Indra, Chandra, all these enemies, but he was fully under the control of six enemies, beginning with karma, lust, krodha, anger. Here we have the kopavesha. He was absorbed always in anger. Kam, krodha, lobha, greed, moha, illusion, mada, madness, and matsarya, envy. So all these things follow one after, they're all interrelated. Enviousness of Krishna leads to fall down in the material world. Krishna bahyamokoya bhogavancha kare nikatastha mayatare japati adhare. When someone becomes envious of Krishna, then he has his material desires increase. Bhogavancha kare hoya mayar das kari nana abhilash. When we're in the spiritual world serving Krishna, there's only one desire, to serve Krishna. But when we come to the material world, we have so many desires. So from envy comes lust, and then from lust comes anger, greed, illusion, and the whole thing is summed up as insanity. Hiranyakashipu, although thinking himself very noble and aristocratic and powerful, he was a crazy man. He was a madman. Because he thought he is supreme. Why he's mad? Everyone is mad. Everyone is insane. Everyone in this material world is insane. Because they're thinking, I am the enjoyer. I am the controller. But they're not. And they don't see pashyanapi na pashyati. Though they have plenty of evidence. People, they like empirical evidence. Show me. But even seeing, they're not seeing. Show me there's a God. You're far away from seeing God. Why don't you see this? That everyone is dying, you're also going to die. Why don't you make some plan? You have your life insurance plan and sending your children to school plan. So many plans. Why don't you make some plan for what happens after death? But without any evidence or without any thinking, because they are like the ostrich who puts his head in the sand. When the animal comes to attack, he can't run away, so he puts his head in the sand. Now, I can't see the danger, so there is no danger. Or like the rabbit, when he's attacked by the wolf, simply he can't run away, he closes his eyes, pretend there's no problem. So they can't see that death is coming. For all their plans for controlling and enjoying, they're going to be smashed ultimately. Actually, Hiranyakashipu in that regard was apparently a little intelligent, because he made some plan to become immortal. He thought, I want to be just like God, I want to enjoy, but enjoyment is limited by death. So let me get some benediction that I cannot die. So he thought he got such a benediction, but he had to die ultimately. But even most materialists, they can't even see, or even if they see, they just brush it off. It's natural. They say, it's natural. You all have to die. That's natural. Of course I have to die. Yeah, all right. And then what after that? Well, we'll see. Nothing. Foolishness to the point of insanity. So all mixed up. Hiranyakashipu is an archetypal demon. Whatever demoniac person is there, whatever demoniac desires, we also have in our heart. They're all typical Hiranyakashipu type. Lust, greed, uncontrolled lust. He wants to enjoy all the wives of the demigods. Uncontrolled lust. One wife, another wife, it's all the, what you're going to enjoy, it's all the same thing. But due to the power of Daivi Maya, the external energy of the Supreme Lord, a foolish materialist like Hiranyakashipu is thinking, let me enjoy this woman, that woman, another woman. So unlimited lust, then anger, because you cannot be satisfied. The great illusion of the material world that we will be satisfied by materialistic enjoyment. This is especially prominent in the modern age. Everywhere sex is being advertised. Everywhere you see posters. The women are all dressed up. How to attract loose hair, cut hair, fashion this way, that way. Different kinds of fashion clothes. And men also. The whole society, big buildings, big arrangements, computers and missiles, and all based on enjoying the lusty propensity. So they want to amass more and more things. So anger, they become angry because they're frustrated. Because sex indulgence or any kind of sense enjoyment doesn't lead to happiness. Rather, it leads to more distress. Is the great illusion of this material world that by, we think that we will enjoy sense gratification, but it doesn't bring enjoyment. It brings the opposite. The more we engage in sense gratification, the more we feel dissatisfied. Because engaging in sense gratification is directly opposed to the principle of serving Krishna, of engaging our senses in the service of Krishna, which in Atma Suprasidati, that brings satisfaction, engaging our senses in the service of Krishna. So the more we engage in sense gratification, the more we're going away from Krishna, and the more we feel dissatisfied. This is scientific, logical principles we can understand. So calm, crowed, become angry because we're our lust, even though we try to engage, indulge in it, we don't become satisfied. So therefore sometimes people, they try to become aloof, the Mayavadis, they want to become aloof from sense gratification by performing austerities. But they're still envious of Krishna. They don't take up the positive process of service to Krishna. They've seen that sense gratification causes dissatisfaction and suffering. Therefore, they want to stop the sense gratification process by stopping as much as possible the interaction of the senses with the sense objects. But they don't take up the service of Krishna. Therefore, they remain envious. And even though they may, by stopping their gross sense gratification, ascend to the parampadam, they may ascend to the spiritual platform, but they fall down again. Patanti adho anadita yushvadangaya, because they don't worship Krishna. So lust, anger, greed. Materialistic person must be greedy. It's insanity. You see, you go in people's houses, especially in the West, and their houses are filled with all kinds of rubbish, all kinds of garbage. They have cupboards full of all kinds of toys for their children, which their children are not interested in, and 30 pairs of shoes, although you can only wear one at a time. So many things they like to buy. So go in the bathroom and it's a whole big shelf full of sprays and perfumes and creams and all, so many things they want to buy. You see these materialistic people, they go to these shopping. It's like the mandir for the Grihamedis. They go, big shopping area. They go in Friday night with their paycheck, with the look of intoxication on their eyes. Now we're going to enjoy. And they go and they spend, all their wife is there, and all their money is looted out of their pocket. I don't know this. So, intoxicated, they come out. Ah, I bought so many things. I bought something new, some wonderful thing. And it goes on the shelf, and their house becomes full of more and more rubbish. Greed. They have a sense of fulfillment that I have got so many items. Now I have a car. I need another car. And they feel some sense of security that I'm controlling this object, this vehicle. But again, it doesn't bring them the satisfaction. They're trying to get some security in objects. They surround themselves by buildings and servants and so many different gadgets to fortify their illusion of being the controller and the owner. but it doesn't bring satisfaction. Kama, krodh, lobh, moha, illusion, completely in illusion. The whole career of the materialistic person is simply illusion. This is why we should be very careful not to hear from materialistic people. We should be very careful. Of course, if we have to get a computer mended, we may go to a computer expert, but if we have to get our brain mended, if we have to get our consciousness mended, then we have to go to someone who knows about consciousness, means the devotee of Krishna. Chaito Darpana Marjanam. Our consciousness needs to be purified by the purifying process of Hari Kirtan. This will purify our consciousness. Otherwise, we may make some so-called psychological adjustment, but it's only an adjustment on the material platform. And like everything else on the material platform, it may seem to be good, but it's simply cosmetic. It doesn't purify the heart. That's why we see that materialists, they have so many psychologists and planning committees for solving all the problems. They big, big professors, how to solve the economic problems, how to solve the crime problems, and this problem. But they have discussions in the newspaper, how to solve the problem, but they cannot solve the problems. Because they want the kingdom of God without God. There must be problems. Their root problem is that they're envious of Krishna. Therefore, they're engaging in sense gratificatory plans, which will increase their lust, greed, anger, envy. And then how are you going to solve problems? If people's consciousness is impure, then, as Prabhupada gave the example, United Nations. Of course, nowadays everybody criticizes the United Nations, but at that time everybody used to give the highest respect to the United Nations. But Prabhupada said, the United Nations is like a pack of dogs. Because their consciousness is like that. This is my country. Roo, roo, go away. The dog will bark when you walk past. This is my area. Don't come here. So they're like that. They're simply interested in sense gratification. So Prabhupada, he said that if you put a... Of course the United Nations can't solve the problems any more than if you put a bunch of dogs together, they'll simply bark and fight with each other. So if people's consciousness is not purified, they make resolutions. Just like we see in offices, especially here in India, people have Dada so-and-so says, be good, smile, be nice to others. By putting a slogan on the wall, be nice. You're not going to be nice. You can only be nice if your heart is pure. Heart is pure means dedicated to Krishna. Free from the envy. There's no niceness. As long as someone is envious of Krishna, then he may have a veneer of niceness. Just like even Hiranyakashipu was apparently nice to his son. But he ultimately wasn't nice to his son because he was envious of Krishna. So this envy, how can we remove that envy? We ourselves, we're talking so much, the demons, and yes, they're demons, let it be said clearly. Anyone who is not a devotee of Krishna is a demon. Let it be understood. Let us not think that because someone has a suit and tie and he smiles and wears aftershave, which makes him smell nice, that he's actually a very nice person. If someone is envious of Krishna, then he's a demon. This is the verdict of the Shastra. Vishnu bhaktas bhavet daiva asuryas tat viparyaya is very clearly stated. But also within ourselves, demoniac propensities are there. Chaito darpana marjanam. Cleansing is there by chanting the holy names. But we're not cleansed fully. We have a long way to go, most of us. Myself beginning. So we should be realistic about these demoniac things within our heart and have a program to clean them out. The program is there, the Sankirtan movement. Program is there, beginning with morning program, Sankirtan program, preaching program, Sri Guru Charane Rati, Eshe Uttama Gati, sticking in the parampara, very clear, the program is very simple. But then if we think that I don't need all this, I'm already, just like here in Vrindavan, we find so many sahajiyas, they don't want to go through the program of cleaning the heart, but automatically they want to discuss Radha Krishna's intimate pastimes. That means they're just taking it as a sex story, that's all. Because Radha Krishna's intimate pastimes cannot be appreciated by someone who is still influenced by mundane lust. So if someone wants to come to this platform and discuss all these things without having the heart cleansed of material lusty desires, that means they're not understanding. Then what are they getting out of it? Mundane lust. They're not understanding Krishna. So therefore we find what happens when people artificially jump up to that which they're not fit for or ready for. Then ultimately they jump up, and they fall down and break their head. Their spiritual life is spoiled by engagement in mundane, lusty affairs. It's inevitable. It must happen. Because even in the name of Krishna consciousness, they're stoking the fire of mundane lust. So we should be very careful, see all these things. We have Prabhupada's books. What is the actual line we should follow? The actual line is a very straight line. Tangent, if we go off on a tangent. Tangent may be very slightly going away. But as you go on more and more distance, the tangent moves further and further away from the actual line. That's why even someone may be going on in Krishna consciousness, but they're going on in a tangent. They're not going back to Godhead. They're going somewhere to the side. So here in Vrindavan, actually we should be careful, because there are many tangential approaches to Krishna consciousness here. We should be very careful to stick to the path which is given by our Acharya. He is, as Prabhupada said of his own Acharya, he is not only the Acharya of a small group of people, but he is the Acharya of the whole world. Some recognize him and some don't. So our Acharya is Srila Prabhupada. He is whatever other people may say or think or do. Factually, you see, it was he who was empowered to spread the message of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu all over the world. Therefore, we understand that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't only empower him to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world, but he empowered him to present Krishna consciousness in the way that we need to accept it. It's not that Prabhupada went all over the world, but now he gave you some basic idea, and now he didn't really know how to teach Krishna consciousness that well, but he was pretty good at making a lot of noise, and therefore you should go to someone else who knows something better than him. This is again the same thing, envy. Just like Hiranyakashipu was envious of Prahlad. So many people, even in the dress of Gauriya Vaishnavas, they're envious of the Acharya, because they would like to have the prestige of so many followers. But they don't have the shakti, they don't have the empowerment from Krishna to take people out of material life and fix them in Krishna's service. Therefore, they like to gather some people around them and advertise themselves as more advanced devotees, while directly or subtly vilifying the position of the Acharya. So we should be careful of all these things. Krishna consciousness is very nice, it's very sweet, it's very pure, but we also have to be maintaining our sense of discrimination based on what we understand from Srila Prabhupada's books, and understand that we have to follow Krishna consciousness as Prabhupada has taught us, which means engaging in Krishna consciousness within this movement. Preaching is the essence. Rolling around in the dust in Radha Kund is very nice, but it's not the essence. You may do that once a year maximum, but your real essence is spreading the message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu all over the world. Getting freed from the dirty things in the heart by Tivrena Bhakti Yogena. Very strongly applying ourselves to the process of Krishna consciousness. Chanting the holy names in the association of devotees. This will purify us. Prabhupada many times, he was lecturing here in 1976 on this section of Bhagavatam. He was saying, follow in the footsteps of Prahlad Maharaj. Follow in the footsteps. So at that time, Harikesh Maharaj had made the observation that Prabhupada is saying, follow in the footsteps of Prahlad Maharaj. And Prabhupada himself was very much absorbed in the mood, especially while he was translating this Prahlad Akhyan. Very much in the mood of Prahlad Maharaj. What is Prahlad Maharaj's mood? That even others, let them be saved. Let me do something to help them. Even I may not go back to Godhead, but let me preach and help others to come to the platform of Krishna consciousness. I'm very sorry, Prahlad sir, to see that maya sukaya baramudvahato vimurha. I'm very sorry to see that all these people are big asses, vimurha, great fools. They're absorbed in so-called material happiness. So let me do something to help them. This is the mood of Prahlad Maharaj. Prabhupada wanted us to follow in that mood. He personally set the mood doing that. And by doing that, by following that, certainly we will be safely situated at Abhaycharan, at the fearless lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada, and our spiritual life will progress very nicely. And certainly Srila Prabhupada is fully empowered by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to give us Krishna consciousness. This is what we sing every day, that prema bhakti jaha hoite. He is giving Krishna consciousness, prema bhakti. We need not be overly anxious that I must immediately jump into prema bhakti, jump, tread on the head of my guru and jump into Radha Kund. But we should know that by following in the footsteps of the acharyas, following in the footsteps of Srila Prabhupada, he will give us whenever we're ready, that we have to become ready. Hare Krishna. Is there any question?
Please. But there is a long history in Gaudiya Vaishnavism of disobedience to the instruction of the acharyas. Just like you stated that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati left his body at the time of silence in Germany, but disobedient, following his instructions, continuing to preach and start developing different ideas, different morals, different paths, different so many things. And so in ISKCON also, looking back over the last 26 years, we have seen many times the same disobedience surfacing, that people disobey Srila Prabhupada's instructions to stick to his instructions as given in Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, going outside to people he has asked for him to associate this, introducing things which Srila Prabhupada has clearly forbidden to introduce, like you said, taking Shana Varan, psychology, seven habits, or whatever. And this way, we have seen that over the years, so much instability has been created in our movement into the regular disobedience of senior disciples to simply follow Srila Prabhupada's instructions when he said, do not add anything and do not subtract anything. And the sad thing is that young devotees have been bombarded by so-called senior devotees over many, many years, which with things which are not qualified and have not been introduced by His Divine Grace, Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, in the name of progress and advancement and humanity. How are young devotees protecting themselves to be misled by so-called senior devotees introducing so-called advanced instructions?
Yeah, it's a very, very difficult situation for devotees joining our movement, actually, if we're going to speak frankly, because there are so many ideas. But anyway, one of the points I was making in this class is that even guru within ISKCON means he has to follow Srila Prabhupada exactly, not add anything or subtract anything. So we have seen there is a history, even within our movement, of people who have taken power from Srila Prabhupada and then introduced things and subtracted things. And ultimately they get subtracted from the proper path of Krishna consciousness. So we find in Shastra, and Prabhupada also said this, that there is a period of waiting for initiation. And not only the guru tests the disciple, the disciple tests the guru. So the disciple should also see if this person is strictly following Prabhupada. That we have to warn the new people coming. That see, what is Prabhupada saying? What is his mood? And we have to follow that. Otherwise, we may be in trouble. It's also, especially the prerogative of the GPC body to act as watchdogs in our society. That Prabhupada said this, watchdogs, they have to stop unwanted elements entering. I've thought about this a lot. My personal solution is, not solution, but contribution, is writing books which, this is the standard, this is what Prabhupada said. That's the end. But I would ask young devotees, that's not only I'm asking, but that is the injunction. You should do that. You should see. Because it's not that everyone joining a religious movement is a perfect follower. We see not only in Gaudiya Vaishnavism, but in every movement, there are charismatic leaders who attract a lot of followers. But then afterwards, the followers may change things this way, that way, or the other way. So that's the whole history of Christianity. Jesus attracted, by his power given to him by Krishna, he attracted so many followers. But look at Christianity today. It's been misrepresented, and people are given great respect as the bishop and the pope and this and that, but they're not following Christ. Even in a political movement, you see, Marx, he wrote his theories, and then Lenin came, and different people, and there are different interpretations of communism. So some people are given some power by Krishna to establish something, and inevitably, it is inevitable that someone is going to take that and change it. It is inevitable. We needn't think that it's a particular problem of our movement. It is inevitable. Because wherever there is dhan, jan, and sundari, wherever there is money, kanaka kamini, women and money, and followers, then definitely materialistic people are going to be attracted. Or people who have some spiritual inclination, they'll also be attracted, but if they're not very strict to follow exactly the line, then their consciousness may become polluted by the prospect of enjoying beautiful women, controlling people, having a lot of money. So wherever that is there, if someone becomes attracted by these things, then gradually, subtly, his consciousness may change. So we have to see. Practically everyone coming in this movement, we have to tell them that, you see, what is the line that Prabhupada has given? You have to follow that exactly. If it wasn't taught by Srila Prabhupada, don't follow it. Whoever may be introducing it, because whoever they may be, and there are many very wonderful devotees in this movement, I'm not trying to say that, it may come over that I'm trying to say that I'm right and everyone is wrong. I'm not right. Prabhupada is right. But there are many wonderful devotees in this movement, and at the same time there are many different ideas which have been introduced, and I'm sure many more will be introduced in future. But we should know that whatever Prabhupada has given, that exactly is correct. And if there's any deviation from that, then it's incorrect, and therefore it's dangerous. Therefore we sing every day, Guru Mukha Padma Vakya, Chitete Kariya Aikya, Arna Kariya Mane Asha. We all come before Srila Prabhupada, disciples, grand disciples, and sing this. That whatever is spoken by the Guru, Guru Mukha Padma Vakya, we fix that up in our heart, and we don't accept anything else. It's a very safe path. Everything else is dangerous. Any other question, comment?
Of course, my experience is very small, but I wish that my mind is not sufficient to get have no control. So my question is, to go back to Godhead, and I did not just to control the mind with superior intelligence, which is entirely the pure fire. Because, you know, I know for sure that I will be quite open to my previous situation, all the disaster will come again. So, my question is, should really purify the Godhead to control?
I mentioned this in the class in regard to the Mayavadis, that, that by withdrawing themselves from gross sense gratification, they control the senses, but it's not proper control because they don't engage their senses in the service of Krishna. Therefore, they must fall down again. That example of the muddy water and it settles down, that is applicable to those who follow some impersonal kind of meditation, who simply... The mud settles by keeping the mind still, but any little shake and it will come again. So our process is not just to let the mud settle and stay, but the process is cheto darpana marjanam, cleaning the heart by Krishna Sankirtan, by glorifying Krishna. This cleans the heart. How does it clean? What is the dirt in the heart? The dirt in the heart means that we are envious of Krishna. Whatever lust, greed, anger, they all come from envy of Krishna. So Krishna Kirtan means to glorify Krishna. So by glorifying Krishna, then the envious propensity goes away. Therefore, preaching is the essence, because preaching means to glorify Krishna, to bring others to Krishna, and glorify Krishna. That cleanses our own heart, because we are combating the envy within our own hearts and the envy within others' hearts. Therefore, by engaging in the Sankirtan movement, we will become purified. Unless we deliberately don't want to become purified, that's something else. If we deliberately hang on, that example is there of the boat, they're rowing all night, and in the morning they get up and find that they're still in the same place. Shrama eva hi kevalam, hard work and no result. So if we deliberately want to maintain material desires, then even in the name of preaching, even preaching can be done on the platform of subtle sex desire. You can be showing, oh, I'm a great preacher, and how the girls are enjoying looking at me, the great hero. So it can be very dangerous. We have to really have a program, heart cleansing program. We have to be, ultimately we have to be very sincere. Who is